The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is it possible to believe in Jesus but refuse the gift of eternal life? Well, that interesting question is what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We got this very interesting question from a listener not so unlike yourself. By the way, we're taking questions from listeners, and if you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. You can send us an email at this address, radio@faithalone.org. And while we're talking about it, you can go to our website and learn more about what we do at faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's interesting discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Bob, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Sean.
You're doing good. I think we are coming to the end of a Q&A thing, and we're going to start up another series again.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure how we're going to... Is there a series that you'd like to hear us do? I mean, send us ideas at radio@faithalone.org. Put it in the header. Idea for a series. And then we're taking these Q&A, and we like doing that, but we like to switch things up as well, so... Oh, and by the way, you should know that Ken and Catherine, the father-daughter team who are in charge of GES Missions, they're going to be starting up their own podcast soon. Go to our website at faithalone.org and you'll see it there. It'll be totally different from us. It'll be a long-form podcast where Ken and Catherine will go through books of the Bible verse by verse. And maybe they'll also touch on missions things, but I think it'll mostly be verse by verse. So if you're hungry for verse by verse free grace Bible teaching, that's going to be available to you soon because you guys support the ministry, and so it makes it possible to do that kind of thing. All right, here's a question from Marlo. He says, is it possible, at least in theory, to say, I believe that Jesus guarantees eternal life to all who believe in him for it, but while I consent intellectually to the truth of that proposition, I'm actually not believing him for it myself because I don't want it? Surely there's room for thinking that faith that doesn't want to claim the promise is empty faith, isn't there? This may be splitting hairs. I don't know.
Yes, I've heard this one before. It used to be a big question that came up among people at a leading Free Grace Bible college. They discussed it back in the 60s and the 70s. It was a big topic. I remember talking to Zane Hodges about this. I said, how would you answer this question?
Okay.
And his answer was, you cannot not believe what you believe. Okay. In other words, if a person believes, let's say, for example, that Joe Biden is going to do what he promised, which is send us a stimulus check for another $600 or another $1,400.
Yeah.
And you believe it.
Yeah.
And then you say, but since I don't want it, I don't really believe it.
Oh, yeah. I don't believe
it. Well, guess what? You're going to get that check. It's going to come because you do believe that he's going to send another check. And whether you want it or not, once you believe it, it's true. Now, in that case, that's a bad example because you're going to get that check whether you believe it or not.
The condition is not belief.
There is no condition. You just got to be an American. But his point with this is, once you believe the promise, there's no believing it for me because you know it's true for every human being, and you're one of the every human being.
Okay, so, all right, well.
It's not true for those who want it.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him and wants everlasting life will never perish and get everlasting life. He just said whoever believes in him. And so Zane's point is, look, if you don't want everlasting life, too bad.
All right,
you got it.
All right. Let's say, how about this? A lot of people, when they ask this question, what they really mean is something like this. Let's say, is it possible for someone to understand the promise of life and yet not believe that it's true?
Absolutely.
Right?
Like, but that's not what this question is.
That's not what this question is, but maybe that might answer what a lot of people think that Marlo means here. So let's say I talk to Catholics and Mormons and other people, Lordship Salvation people, and I say, the only condition is to believe, and then you have eternal life, and you're saved forever. And they understand what I'm claiming.
And they can repeat it to you.
And they can repeat it, and they get it.
And they have a name for
it. But they don't believe it.
They call it cheap grace or easy belief.
Right, they reject it as false. Okay?
Right.
That's not what Marlo's asking, but maybe it's related. But now let's take someone like the devil. The devil knows that John 3:16 is true.
He believes it.
He believes it. He doesn't just understand it, but he's persuaded that it's true. But he doesn't have everlasting life.
Right.
So he's an example of someone who's persuaded that it's true, but and he probably doesn't want it either. Is he a different scenario?
Well, he is a different thing because Jesus didn't die for the devil or for fallen angels. He died for humans, and he doesn't offer everlasting
right.
life to Lucifer or to fallen angels.
All right, so that's the that's what makes the difference there.
And by the way, that's even true of humans. If a human dies and comes to believe in the promise of everlasting life, if they had believed it when they were alive, it's too bad because they're not alive anymore.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, so that's another example of someone, they believe it, but except I guess they also
would
want it. They want it, too.
Well, maybe. We're not even sure.
But they believe it, but they don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, we're not sure that people in the lake of fire would want everlasting life. As nutty as it sounds,
right.
there probably are people who are going to be there and want to be there because they don't want anything to do with God and his kingdom.
Okay.
Who knows? The scriptures don't tell us about that. But the point is, even if they did want it, it's too late because you have to be born again in this life.
Okay, so how about this, the fourth example. Someone believes that John 3:16 is true, but they don't know if they have everlasting life. They're full of doubts about it. They understand it. They're persuaded that it's true, but they just don't know that it's true of them. They lack assurance.
Then they don't. Person? Then they don't believe it.
Why would you say that?
Okay.
They believe it. They just don't know if they have met the condition.
Okay, well, then they don't understand it yet because they don't know what the condition is.
Okay.
So, therefore, you can't believe what you don't understand.
So, tell us a little more about
okay,
that.
So let's say a person thinks that what John 3:16 is saying is whoever believes in Jesus won't perish but has everlasting life. And they're convinced that's true.
They're convinced that's true of lots of other people, but...
Well, no. They're convinced it's true of anybody who believes in Jesus. They just don't know if they believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
In fact, they don't know if anybody else believes in Jesus either.
Okay.
In other words, they think believing in Jesus is some mysterious thing.
Okay.
And so they're looking for some kind of evidence that they and others believe in Jesus.
Okay. Yeah.
So maybe they look at their works. Maybe they look at their feelings. Right? They look for something that tells them they're born again. And since there is no something outside of faith that tells me I have faith, well, then they go around with uncertainty.
Yeah.
The simple answer is that person does not believe John 3:16 because it's pretty obvious that what John 3:16 is saying, what the Lord is saying there is, if you simply believe in me, then you have everlasting life that can never be lost.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make sense to people. Because it sounds like all you got to do is believe, which is actually what it's saying.
Yeah.
So therefore, theologians come up with, no, real belief is commitment.
So
it's surrender. It's turning from your sins. It's obedience.
So formally, they agree with the words, but they misunderstand what it means to believe. Therefore, they don't really understand what John 3:16 is saying. They have some other definition of belief. And because they have some other definition of belief as commitment or as doing good or as allegiance or as faithfulness, that's how they can believe, quote unquote, John 3:16 and yet lack assurance of their salvation and not have eternal life.
Exactly. I like your word formally. They have some sort of formal affirmation that this is true.
Right.
But in reality, they don't understand it or believe it.
Because every Christian denomination in the world, any denomination that says it believes in the Bible, will say they believe in John 3:16.
Right.
But they don't all understand it the same way, and they don't all understand it the way John meant it or the way Jesus meant it. And maybe that person there fits Marlowe's example.
Okay, if the person doesn't have it because they don't want it, doesn't that mean that almost everybody would have doubts about whether they're truly born again if they held that view? Wouldn't they say, how do I know I wanted it enough? How much do you need to want it?
Yeah.
But it ultimately leads to a sort of a work salvation. Let's say that Marlowe himself at some point stops wanting it. Well, is he still born again? Mm. I guess his point is you only have to want it for a moment in time. But if you believe before you want it, and then you later want it but stop believing, since they didn't sync up, you're not going to be born again, right?
Yeah.
You got to believe it and want it. So you could have the weird situation where a person believed it for decades and didn't want it and then stopped believing and then wanted it, but it's too late. They're going to the lake of fire because they didn't believe and want at the same time. I mean, it's just a confusing theology.
Mm. Probably most of us, when we heard the gospel and we heard about Jesus promising eternal life, we did want what he was promising.
Right. But let's say you didn't, but you were convinced it was true. Then you'd go, oh, okay, I've got everlasting life. I really don't want it. Here's the way I heard it, by the way, Sean, the way it used to be told. So-and-so is a young man whose parents have both died, and they were unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's convinced that the unbeliever goes to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And he would rather spend eternity in hell with his parents than in the kingdom with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So he believes the promise of John 3:16, but he chooses not to believe it for himself because he wants to be with his parents.
Okay.
And the simple answer is you can't do that.
Mm.
He obviously doesn't believe John 3:16, because if he did, he would say, it's too bad that my parents aren't going to be in the kingdom, but I don't have a choice. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to go evangelize my friends, because if I'm not careful in evangelizing my friends, they'll miss the kingdom. But the other thing he doesn't know, how does that person know his parents never believed? He doesn't. His parents were alive for 20 years before he was even born.
Yeah.
They could have come to faith and fallen away. And so, you know, it makes no sense. It's a theology that is based on philosophy, a person saying, well, if you don't want an everlasting life, it doesn't count. Of course it counts. If you believe, you believe. If you don't, you don't.
It makes sense to me if you distinguish between understanding and persuasion.
Right.
Then that makes sense. But it doesn't make sense to say, I believe it, but
I don't want it.
I don't want it. That makes sense, too. I believe it, but I don't want it. But that wasn't as you say, that's not the condition of salvation.
So therefore, if you believe it and you don't want it, you'd go, okay, but I got it.
So if someone not wanting it, that's really going to impact your discipleship, presumably, afterwards, right? That's going to affect your rewards and the quality of your fellowship and spiritual maturity. But it won't affect whether or not you have everlasting life.
Well, it would in the sense that if a person somehow thinks they don't have everlasting life because they don't want it, they've not yet believed John 3:16.
That's another one. There you go. Okay. All right, Marlo, thanks for that question. Were you splitting hairs? I don't know. But lots of good questions.
I feel like I had a haircut today.
See you guys next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On Monday, we're going to start a new series called No Holiness, No Heaven. So join us for that. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.